Wait, are you gaming? On a Chromebook?
Yep. It's got a high-res 120Hz display, plus this killer RGB keyboard. And I can access thousands of games anytime, anywhere.
Stop playing.
What?
Get out of here.
Huh?
Yeah, I want you to stop playing and get out of here so I can game on that Chromebook.
Got it.
Go ahead, break it down real low. Discover the ultimate cloud gaming machine, a new kind of Chromebook.
Style. Space. Functionality. The 2023 Chevrolet Traverse is a great option for people with disabilities. It was designed with purposeful solutions that help make driving more accessible, so you can get through the day comfortably and efficiently, no matter where you need to go. Chevy Accessibility. Engineered to go forward. Learn more at chevy.com/accessibility.
Welcome back to another edition of the There Will Be Dungeons bonus episode for the month of June 2022. We're happy to have you all here, and we hope you enjoy the following questions and answers. Questions provided by you, hopefully some good answers provided by us. As usual, Kristen's got the list. Let's just get into it. Kristen, what's our first question?
All right, first one from BDog17. Hello, TWBD crew. I have been listening to the campaign since the beginning and have enjoyed listening as all the characters change and grow, which leads me to my question. Is there any way we can get Kyle to give us a complete readout of all of Varel's glorious titles? Thank you for all that you do.
Oh, man, if I hadn't known this was a question, I would have done the full titles today in the show.
Oh,
well, let's give you some homework. For the final battle, let's have that ready so you can
declare it down as like that. Sounds good. Yeah. That sounds good.
Yeah. I'm assuming you survive, you know.
Oh yeah.
Yes.
Because you never know.
So an answer to look forward to then?
I like that.
All right. Keep listening, B-Dog.
Good one, B-Dog.
Yeah.
All right. Next up, Dave P. Hi, all. Super quick question. Did you as a group come together at the start to discuss what sort of game you were interested in playing? War game, heavy, role-playing, intricate, trading simulation, etc.? Did you outline things that would be off the table? For instance, violence against kids, rape, horror elements? Cheers, Dave P.
I don't know. Did we? I don't remember.
I don't remember. So how long ago is it when we started playing? Are we at 3 or 4 years now?
We're at, oh, geez.
I can check the email records here because I think it was emailed first. And I think it was always going to be D&D.
I don't think we ever really went heavy on the, like, here's the stuff that's off the table. But I think there were discussions about, like, what kind of universe it was going to be.
First episode was January 27th, 2018. So one, two, three, four. Yeah, we're four. We're in the fourth year.
A lot of it was like I came to this going like Scott really likes Mad Max. So I if everyone's cool with it, I know what I want to do. It kind of went everywhere. It didn't, you know, to stay firmly grounded in that. But, you know, we did discuss that, but I came into it with some notions, and Scott's very good about being like, yeah, have at her, man.
I remember there was a conversation, though, at one point about, you know, how dark do we want to get, or how, you know, like if there are romantic things, are we going to just have full-on pornographic descriptions versus something more mild or something? I felt like we had a conversation about that.
I've been feeling it as we go. Like, we've definitely had our... it's sort of an interesting place because, like, I definitely want to take it to R-rated, but then I'm like, well, we're doing a show. I don't know. I don't know. Like, we had, you know, one of Bok-Bok's first epic moments was him, you know, jacking off in Slave Town. I still remember that because it was so funny, just that you open the door and, that's what he was doing, stupid little goblin guy being gross.
Being gross,
Yeah, so, like, it's funny, I've been watching The Boys, and I'm like, this show's kind of like how I DM, basically. Like, I try to be serious, but then I just blood and guts. That's sort of just explode things. And I'm like, yeah, that's kind of where I go. So, I mean, I like doing the edgy stuff, but I don't know that we ever talked about it. I think it's just as we play, if I get a bad reaction to something, I, like, keep it in check, right? We'll never forget. Never forget the Mr. Oilbeard's terrible thing he said on the way, slow falling down the 1,000-mile hole.
But we were also playing co-op games together for like 2 years before we started D&D. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of really, there's a lot of really helpful like questionnaires you can pass out to prospective players about what they're comfortable with to kind of bridge that gap. If you have somebody new to your campaign, it's worth being down like, hey, what's your thoughts on like the undead and like guts? And some people are like, skeletons are fine, but I don't want to hear a thing about intestines or, you know, needles or like all those sort of preferences when you don't know somebody are really important to get. But we had played so many video games together that we had a general idea of like where things were going.
Yeah, I agree. Mm-hmm. That made a difference. That is absolutely true. Because, you know, I'm not that, it, you know, in games we're like, I don't know, not that it's the same, but I think everybody kind of knew each other well enough to know how to take things. Yeah.
Nothing formal, but, you know, we were. Yeah, I wouldn't say the way you make it sound like do we have a sit down and go like, okay, where are our boundaries? Yeah. I would say no, but we had a lot of prior history, so it was, you know, anything that came up we could deal. I felt confident we could conversate as a group and talk about
sure.
it. Compromise and arrive at a solution. So
I agree.
Yeah. Including from listeners.
Yeah.
Some people didn't like the way I voiced certain characters because they thought maybe I was being insensitive towards the differently abled. You know, and I was like, well, no, I just want to make them sound a little silly, but okay, like I'll think about that, you know. Like,
yeah.
Not my intention, but right. yeah.
Sometimes you're just goofing
stuff
around.
Like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sure. All right. Going on, Tony or Chicken Whiskers 1 on Twitch. I don't want to sound presumptuous about the direction the story of our beloved party is headed, but it seems to be coming to a natural resolution point. Finally running down the big bad, and that fight will decide the fate of the party. After at least 3 dedicated seasons to this party, are there any talks of going back to John's Inverse world for a dedicated season, or back to Kyle's adventures through the Underdark? Or do you, Scott, John, Kyle, Kristen, think Bo will find a way to keep this moving to higher heights, like Dragon Ball Z style story progression?
I'd love that. That's a comparison. That's very funny.
That is kind of where the powers go from like level 16 to 20 for sure, though, especially at 20. Yeah.
You can probably answer that better than the rest of us. Like,
well, I mean, we have. So yes, we are, you know, I mean, my scheduling is terrible because everything I think that's going to take one episode takes 10. And that's OK. It's just I have a bad sense of timing when it comes to that stuff. And, it, you know, I don't seem to get better at it. But even at this juncture when we talk about seasons, we've definitely discussed like, you know, how much time is X going to take, but no one wants to rush it at the same time. So, you know, I think we'll have that conversation probably soon and figure things out from there. Cause like definitely like the inverse, I miss Baffo Salts personally. Mm-hmm. And, Garpoon. I am Garpoon.
Oh, yeah. Garpoon was fun.
And, yeah, Garpoon was great. Oh, and Fungus Man. And what was your character, Hope? I don't know why I can't remember your characters today.
That's it. I don't remember. wasn't she an ASMR? An
oh, ASMR? She's a, yeah. ASMR. Yeah.
Teenager
yeah.
got kind kicked out.
Bratty
That's
teen.
Right. Bratty yeah. teen. Bratty, like, god djinn powers. Yeah, no. Okay, all the characters are awesome. So, I mean, it would be fun to do that. It would be fun to continue on with Vorel's universe, although I don't think I'd play a newspaper man again, but
oh yeah, I totally forgot what you played. That's right.
A neat idea. Yeah. Speaking of homework that didn't get done, but yeah, I don't know. I really like doing Star Trek Ottawa.
Oh, that was fun.
Star Trek was great.
I'd be down for more Star Trek. I'd love to do superheroes, a Transformers thing. Like, I think there's a lot of fun ideas out there. Now that we've played together long enough, I'm almost like, I don't know. I think we have to have that discussion, so don't take anything from out of this. But I am definitely excited to either see other people's DMs or even if I were to DM, like, to break different kinds of ground. It's a lot of fun to be had.
Yeah. I agree.
Anyone else?
I mean, I don't know. Like, it does feel like we're heading toward a big finish for the big arc, you know? And what happens after that, I don't know. But I don't know. I have a feeling that this is the ultimate moment. This is our end game, you know. And while there might be a phase 5 MCU, we're about to, you know, get to an important finish point here. And who knows what that means.
Yeah, I mean, but, you know, Varel could head back to Sigil and, you know, have a word with the Mind Master and start a whole new thing. Mm-hmm. It's that guy. That guy's been messing with you from a distance for a while now.
Sure.
It's the post-credit scene.
Yeah.
Oh, that would be cute if every character got a post-credits.
Yeah.
Well, we should, if, you know, if everyone survives, we should do an epilogue, Lord of the Rings style, for sure.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What's Nash up to now?
What's he doing?
Got grandkids, maybe.
Do him, like, freeze frame, like Animal House style, where they're like, so-and-so went on to do a thing while music plays in the background. I kind of like that.
We're Nash not became a lawyer.
But, yeah, Nash attorney at law. Nash Maggard attorney at law. That's a terrible idea. Let's never speak of this again. Bad idea.
All right, next question comes from Bendit, but then there's a follow-up by Evan, so... let's listen to all of this. I really like how in-depth this got. Why was Varel not allowed to level up when the rest underwent surgery? I'm sure mating with 26 female lizard folk and having to battle each and every one of them is worth more XP than surgery, or he should have at least been granted the tough feat for free. And then Evan responds, I was curious about this too, so I did some math. Assuming the lizard folk are the same as the ones for the stat block I found, CR 1/2, Varel would have gained 13,000 XP when suggested to party size / encounter size. A character needs 25,000 XP to go from level 14 to level 15. I can't speak to how much XP the group has gained up until this point since they use milestone. Nor can I put a number on how much XP you get from mating with a creature instead of fighting them. But theoretically, he could have leveled up from his reptilian sex party, assuming they at least had 12k XP towards the next level when the mating ritual began.
Wow.
Yeah, wow. Man, this rundown's amazing.
Wow. That's awesome.
Yeah, I mean...
I don't even know what to say.
I say to Bendit and Evan, respect. I wish I would have thought of that. You're totally right.
Hmm.
I could have easily thought of that and did not.
I didn't mind as a player, though, because Varel is often giving up power outside himself in order to maintain his storyline of my own power. It gets a little messy with Gurgil involved, but, you know, at least it's another lizard folk and a gift and all that sort of thing. But no packs with demons and no special level up surgeries.
You have a firm set of morals, and you do not deviate from them.
Yeah.
So if he's losing a little power because of that, like he's not as high level as everybody else, it's fine.
I don't think it's affected.
Characters don't think in those terms, anyways, right? Like, I could take them all.
Plus, it hasn't affected his mindset of I'm a million miles long of awesome things. Like, it's not like it's changed. You know, you're not gonna list off all your cool accomplishments and at the end go. And as a side note, I'm not quite as powerful as I could have been if I'd, you know, it's not like he's going to do that. So it doesn't really matter. You're as powerful as you want to be, Varel.
Exactly.
Yep. Take that, world.
Next up, we have Malice with four different questions here. What does Stanley consider his top five speeches? What is everyone else's favorite Stanley speech? What are all of your favorite character moments? And what do you consider your favorite or biggest holy shit, WTF campaign / DM surprise or reveal moment.
Wow, that's a big one. All right, John, you're up first.
Yeah, I don't remember most of the speeches that I give because I just give them off the cuff. The only time I've ever planned one, it was bad. I didn't like it. So I don't really remember. I mean, the speeches usually, like, they're good, but they don't usually have much of an effect. I just sort of do it and... You know, sometimes if I do the charm version of it, it'll do something. But like today, he gave a speech about like, hey, we invaded this place and, you know, you're all here. And all it really did was make them just show themselves instead of trying to get the drop in on us. So like, it was okay. It wasn't great. I'll tie it into one of my favorite character moments. I think one of my favorite moments in the campaign is easily... and it's sort of tied to a speech, is killing a Medusa by making her look in a mirror with command. Mm. So it wasn't really a speech, but just like that fight was going so bad. We'd lost hope. We'd lost Varel, you know, and it was just Nash and I in the background. And I don't think we had done a lot of damage to the creature. Because, like, this party is a very, like, let's fight creative party. Like, let's have fun, which is fun. But it doesn't do a lot of hit points of damage at the end of the day. So, like, I just remember thinking, like, oh, God, how are we going to fight this? There's only two of us left, and I don't think anybody's hit this thing. And so having the trick work to cast command to convince this Medusa to look into a mirror was a cool alternative to just chipping away hit points. And it was easily one of my favorite moments. And it was a one word speech, which was a lot easier to do.
That was your favorite then. All right.
Yeah.
That's great.
All right. Well, Stanley, not a fan of his speeches, only has one, and it was one word. But
yep.
I gotta say, I don't remember the content of his speech, but I do like OG Stanley when he channeled a little more Walton Goggins. Mm-hmm. One of my favorites is when you were trying to get the people of the Teat or Trashburg. To you were sort of distracting them, but also like promising them like mayoral style benefits and stuff to influence them.
Oh, that's right. We were gonna put in like plumbing and all that sorts was a good of one. Stuff.
Yeah, that was really
I
great.
Totally forgot about that speech. Yeah, that was honestly that's probably the closest Stanley's ever been to the character as I originally pictured him.
Yeah, there's a rascal, roguish element to him, and you've now become like a holy warrior. Like a very serious, presidential, for lack of a better word, real leader, which is good for your growth and development. But, it was always kind of fun when you were trying to angle for your own selfish advantages. And yeah. So I remember that one. That one was pretty good. And I don't know. You've given some good speeches, man. Like they don't have to necessarily produce an effect to still have great effect upon the role play. So, you know, your speech to the war council was very good, and you channel a lot when you do those.
I know another one. I'll give another one. So I'm doing a little better than just saying, look. I remember after Hope came back in Elhandar, she and Stanley had a sit down where they just sort of laid it all bare. Like Stanley absolutely had like turned his back on Hope, didn't think she meant it. And like she was trying to get back in the good graces of the group. He was definitely the like, I do not trust you now. And they had this, it wasn't really a speech because it was a dialogue back and forth, but like where they finally just had it out. And like in character to me, in my opinion, like that's the moment that like Hope and Stanley became best friends, at least as far as he's concerned. Like it was this moment where both of them had been kind of pretending they haven't done the dark things they did, pretending to be good while not thinking they're particularly good. And they both kind of realize they're the same person in very different ways. And I think that speech about doing good and being good and all of that is one of my favorites.
Yeah, that was really good. I'm trying to think of one. I can't, honestly, it's hard for me to remember because John will do stuff off the show that will stick in my head and then I forget previous funny things. Like the other night on Core, you did this amazing old lady thing, and that's all I can think about right now. I can't think of a Stanley thing, so it's a John problem. He outdoes himself. There's not much I can do about it.
Yeah, no, John's, his speeches are great, but it's fine if we don't remember them word for word. Doesn't comment about anything.
I don't remember any of them. Bo said the one about me. I was like, oh, yeah, I did do that. Like, I don't remember
like,
any.
I have to go back and listen to episodes to prep for the following week. An episode is pretty long already as it is, and then we're going to do three episodes. Like, you know, there's a lot of stuff that passes through our heads. So, I mean, and we're talking, like I said, we've been doing this 3 or 4 years times 3 hours. Like we're talking like 200 to 300 hours of material at this point. You know, like it's a lot. But I don't remember the speeches, but I do remember the feeling. There's often a feeling of that's hilarious or he's going big balls on something. You know, like just when you know it's speech time, you will unleash several minutes of speech. And some of those have been really like poignant and have been really effective. So I don't know the specifics of many of the speeches, but, you know, I think that's okay.
Yep, I agree.
Favorite character moments. Big questions from Malice. Do you guys have? I don't know if this is for the players or just favorite. Maybe one each or something.
Everybody, if you ask this of the audience, they'd all point back to some really old dumb stuff like Thunderclap or whatever the hell it was I cast. And
iconic, Thunderclap and Nash, iconic.
Yeah, that was a thing we couldn't really avoid. But I think
you've grown so much as a D&D player, you know, you would never make a mistake like that.
For me, I think, boy, this is hard.
I think.
This is hard for me. Favorite moment, geez. Moment.
There's so many good ones. One of mine is really early on. It was Nash when he was going through the town, the first town we were in at night, and like these two people are just out for a stroll and he's screaming about how he doesn't have a heart. It was such an absurd scene, but it was so funny just picturing these innocent people hanging out at night and then some crazy bandaged stinky man just runs up and starts screaming about stuff that we know why he's screaming about, but these two characters would have no idea. Like, that was just comedic gold.
Yeah, that was I remember that being really fun.
Speech set off a whole idea about him actually not having a heart.
It paid off later.
Yeah, and look where that took us. So
I was like, what if he was right? It seems absurd.
I can't think. It's really hard for me to think of a single moment. I don't know.
There's lots of great little moments that we have. It's just a question of going back. But like,
Tedna.
There was a time Nash was like, I got to pee. And he goes outside in like extreme detail. You described how you dug this hole and lowered yourself into it.
I do miss a lot of the detailing around how he manages his pee hole. His crotch hole.
Yeah. No, yeah. I mean, in those early days, especially, there was a...
Used to put effort into it.
Make sense of him.
Oh my God.
You know what I mean, though? Like, we wanted to try to understand this chaos that is Nash.
I'm just joking. But a lot happens in our show. I can barely keep people's names together for an NPC list. So it's just hilarious. Because that used to be a big thing, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. And what you were storing in it and how much you could store in it.
Right.
Yeah. Like, I think you want to put a carrot in there at some point just to keep it safe.
Yeah.
It was like 20 minutes of the show. Like, was it discussing a carrot? How much room there was.
Was it a carrot? I don't remember.
It was a vegetable. Okay. I don't know what kind. I'm pretty sure it was a vegetable. I'm sure someone remembers.
Just don't remember.
Yeah. Or, you know, a great moment was when you threw the dildo in Stanley's face.
Yeah. Which is always important, I think.
That was great. Fireballs, chain of fireballs in the Cyclops urethra going exploring in there. Another great Nash moment. I mean, seeing rabbits and setting the gunpowder store on fire.
Oh, that was great. I forgot about that for a minute. Yeah.
You know, Varel and Bok-Bok having breakfast at the Sapphire or something. I think it was Sapphire.
Yeah, their whole relationship.
Lattlebing's Hotel.
Their whole thing where they had to kind of get along and make the restaurant and all that for that period was really great stuff. Yeah. I love
Varel's relationship. With his relationship, what do they call it? Not buskers, but you know, those trolley carriers and Sigil.
He didn't know it was a date, but we were all pretending it was a date.
Just that whole thing with the running guys. I can't remember what they're called.
Rickshaw drivers. Yeah.
Yeah, this whole relationship with the rickshaw. I mean, just hope and every time she got really nasty and evil, like just out of the blue. And especially just her whole arc. We did the evil arc. I mean, that was just awesome. Leaned into it so much. She commanded the other idiots with a firm hand. I just think Stanley's like relationship troubles. Like, it's always so funny because I'm always like, it's not backseat driving or an opinion, but you know, it's like, it's D&D. Like, yeah, we go to the, we go to the brothel, have a good time. Then we go back to the dungeon. Right. But, you know, Stanley's like very, like just contemplative when it comes to his romantic relationships, right? It's always troubled, and I know it's going to be like an episode of Dawson's Creek every time now, and it's it makes me laugh because I know now I know what to expect, and I still you know pick on that anyways. So I find that fun. It's just kind of great. So I don't know if there's like a moment, but there's just like there's always something funny just around the corner that one of the four players are going to do that follows the consistent logic and just, you know, makes it great.
I liked killing that guy by putting him to sleep and he fell out of the window or whatever and died. That was
hilarious too.
That was a good moment.
I mean, I think one of the big problems, not big problems, but like the problem with where we're at right now is that you are high level characters. You're proven and experienced. We've gone through this arc. When you're like a low level, like you do oopsie shit and you're like, oh, this is hilarious. But now you're like the entire world and kingdom are on our shoulders and you know better. So it's like you make less mistakes. Like there's a lot of effort to try not to make like silly mistake, combat mistakes or mistakes that have real world consequences. And that's what you should be. But, you know, it's less funny, right?
Yeah.
And you're just like, oh, shit, I slept the entire block and someone fell out of a window and died. Now you're like, oh, I better be careful before I cast this sleeve spell. But that's growth, you know? That's how that stuff works.
Yeah, it was a very, it was a learning moment. We all learned a little from that, I think.
And biggest holy shit, what the fuck campaign DM surprise reveal moment.
The Dolopopia worms exploding out of everything. That was great. That was awesome. Yeah. And it was just shocking and just, oh, it was great.
Wait, which part was the exploding out of everything?
We were dealing with one and it started shooting worms out of its butt at Varel. And then suddenly everything started shooting worms out of its butts.
Oh, yeah, the worm stuff.
And then we had that epic escape, the race across the chasm. It was awesome.
Oh, I remember the escape from the chicken lords, right?
Yeah, the lizard folk had all feasted on, was it Orp, who was full of worms?
Yes, so they that's all started right.
launching worms out of their butts.
Yeah.
Man, I forgot. There's so much that has happened on this damn campaign.
Yeah, there's a lot.
I'm like, oh, yeah. There's so much. I mean, I like doing the destruction of Elhandar. I don't know if that's a holy shit. I mean, it's hard for me to have them. The players surprise me all the time. So I think it's more up to you guys if you have any big ones. Dolopopia was fun.
I loved it. Pixie Blush. I know. I miss I can't even remember her name. Who's my little fairy friend?
Oh, I miss Pod too.
Pod. Yeah. I freaking loved Pod.
Yeah. Pod was great. Pod in itself was a surprise, right? I wasn't.
Yeah. I don't remember how we came even to having Pod, how that worked out.
Well, there was Pixie Blush was a thing, right? So they crushed pixies up into dust. People snorted.
Oh, that's right. Yep.
And you found a cat. She was one that got freed and was looking for help, hid in your hotel room at Charlemagne's.
That's right.
And she was like, don't eat me. And you're like, I'm not going to eat you. What the hell are you talking about?
I was really sad when she was gone. That bummed me out.
Yeah.
Whose fault was that?
Well, you know... There's a few you know, whatever.
Did I ask you if you'd be okay with it first?
I can't remember
if I did. Because I know, so whenever I tried to be Dian Talos, I tried to make him a character that like was going to be forced, but I didn't want to just come out and just tell people like, hey, he's going to be somewhat forced to cooperate, so he might be evil, but he'll always at least work in your best interest. Because I think that kind of undermines it a little bit. But if I ever wanted to do something like really heavy, like I didn't ask about, what was it, George Miller? Like that one I was fine with doing. But I feel like if I was going to kill somebody that I thought was important, I asked. I think I may have asked you if you were okay with it, Scott.
Yeah, I think so.
I can't remember now, though.
I don't remember either.
Yeah. That was my fault. I got rid of Pod.
Yeah, it was your fault.
Bo brought her back, though.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it's not the same.
No.
No, it's not the same Pod.
Nash's not into
Pod
it.
Pod died.
Scott's not into it.
No, I can feel it. It's not that I'm not into it. It's just it's a pale comparison, right? It's like,
oh, no. You know what? I didn't ask. I did it because Bo turned her into a pixie Hulk. That's what it was.
Yeah, so I think I he just was like...
As
yeah.
soon as it was like, no, Pixie Hulk, I'm not going to bother with a Can We Save Her arc, I think I just did it. I can't remember what... I did ask somebody if they were okay with me doing something evil, though, as Dying Talus. I think the Teat in general would probably be my... Like, that whole area in general, it felt like week to week was, like, kind of a crazy new discovery every week. Like, it kind of felt the most... like free form, uncontrolled, like exploration story, like bit that we had. It just, it's like that moment in an RPG where the open world kicks in, and it felt like that happened at the Teat, and it felt like everything we learned or discovered was like a shocking surprise. Like whether it was like, hey, it's a street gang, and we were feeling, you know, very sure of ourselves. And all of a sudden it's like, and they're run by a vampire. It's like, what? And then like, oh, we gotta go do this. And oh, it's a kingdom that used to belong to Hope's people. And it just felt like there was a constant stream of like reveals and like cool things in that whole section of the story that I really liked.
Yeah, it was good. Real good.
Cool. And then we have one last question from Alice here. Does Stanley...
Well, it squirts. Hello.
We're watching our Monster Truck videos. Yeah?
Nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, Monster Truck videos are the best.
Yeah,
we're looking for those monsters. Does Stanley remember he promised Dian Talus that if he helped the army, he would go to the Feywild with him after? And does he have any intention of keeping said promise? LOL. And I think somebody in chat already responded. Well, yep. Well,
that doesn't matter. Don't have to worry about it. Don't have to remember. I don't have to remember a lot of promises right now. So no biggie.
Yeah, you're safe.
Yeah, throw the note. Throw the notes out.
Were you?
I got Stanley's 10-on-10 murderous right now.
I have a follow-on on that, add-on question about Dian Talus in general. We now know the ultimate fate of the character.
Yeah.
How do you? I don't think we ever really got to how you feel about Dian Talus being officially, truly gone.
Oh, it super bums me out. Like I spent from the moment that Dian Talus got separated from Stanley. Like in the back of my head, literally every week, we can find a way to bring him back in a cool way. Like, am I going to get to play that character again? Can I play that character again? What if something's going to happen? He's going to bring him back. And then he came back and like, no, like nothing against Bo. He said as much when he played him, but like all of a sudden Dian Talus sounded like Skeletor. And he was just kind of like,
I can't do that voice very well.
I know. And that's what Bo said. And I was just like, maybe he wasn't as cool as I thought he was in my head. And but I was like, but maybe I'll get to be him again. Maybe. And then he got lasered and I was like, well, I'm pretty sure it's not going to happen now. So I'm sad that he's gone. But, you know, we're wrapping towards the end of the adventure. And like that's when characters die. That's when storylines die. And at a certain point when you're telling a story, you have to focus it. You have to bring it in. You have to kind of rein things in, and there's not a lot of time for distractions and things like that. So, you know, he got to go out being his usual arrogant self and got obliterated.
Mm-hmm.
That's the way it goes.
We forgot to talk about that today.
Yeah, we didn't.
Because really. Grosjean and Dian Talus would have had a pass too, but they didn't get into it. Oh, well, such is how things go.
I didn't know that. Do they really have a thing? Have a,
yeah, they were part of the. There was like
a part of the.
There's
the
like pre-heroes. A previous party, like right.
Stanley's dad, Monsoon Cabbage, the principal, and Grosjean, and Dian Talus would be involved as a 1,000 years. That's how we got in prison in the first. Like, there's that whole how we got in prison in the first place was being way too murderous, and the Elhandari elves were the ones who imprisoned him.
Yeah, that's right.
Then they forgot about him. You know, he got buried and forgotten. And
there like was the teen sexy, titans. Sexy worm.
Oh, yeah. Forgot about our the sex worm. The sexy dream worm.
But, like, that's the thing is, I don't know if anybody ever went back, any of the players went back and listened to it, but that's, like, a thing that just you and I and the listeners know about is the sex
worm.
They only heard about it secondhand.
Yeah. Everyone, they were having a pleasant dream. They were bewitched. It didn't really happen. But, yeah.
Interesting.
I don't know. You know, it's D&D. Is anyone ever truly dead in the Shadow Realm?
No, because you could revive any of us. If I've been revived in ways that it should be impossible, yeah, here I am.
Well, so it's revived, but souls go to places in the D&D world. So maybe, you know, whole campaigns have been done just in the ethereal plane, for example. So you could play a bunch of spirits or something, whatever you'd imagine, right? Like, yeah. There's... you would never close the door completely on anything in the D&D world, but, you know. Yes, we're currently doing something a little different. John's right. So, you know. So stakes have been raised.
They have been. Raise those stakes, yo. Well, there's our questions. They were great this week. Thank you, everybody, for sending these in. Send us more. And I know a bunch of you at home who even sent questions in are like, I still have questions. Great. We'd love to hear your questions. The more questions you've got, the better off we all are. So send them in. That's over at the website. It's a big old form right there. Boom. Just go to therewillbedungeons.com and you're all set. All right. Thanks for your support. Thank you all for listening. We'll see you next month.